Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined by Randy Engston. What's up, buddy?
Morning, brother.
Morning.
A lot of good things going on.
Lots of good things, Scott. Lots of good things. Growth Summit, guys. I mean, you're probably hearing commercials about it in the background, but it is coming up quick, man.
Yeah.
We did our team huddle yesterday in regards to all the stuff, right? Amanda did a great job, kind of just laid it all out, and, you know, there's probably, 90 lines on that thing?
A ton of tasks.
So I caution anybody that does events. And it's funny because this is our sixth one. You'd think it would get easier. No, not even close. Everything.
You still got to do the same stuff every time, you know?
Yeah, and the venue, you know, the lack of communication is really frustrating sometimes. So I think we're getting a new point of contact over there. But guys, we're already... haven't even started marketing this thing. I think we're 40% occupied just on word of mouth and some early bird fakey tickets that we threw out with no funnel, you know?
Yeah.
So stay tuned. GrowthSummitChicago.com. You may have to type the www in front of that. I'm still trying to figure out why that's not working. Growth Summit Chicago, September 5th through 7th. 5th through 7th. We're doing a workshop on the Thursday before the event. $1 Million Model Mastery. It's I'm teaching that with Zach, and we're breaking down all of the economics and the, you know, systems within a $1 million facility.
Yeah.
And how to adopt it. We're giving you a playbook with it. It's insane what we're doing for
yep.
that.
Yeah, it's
so huge. I'm excited for the pre-con. And of course I'm excited for all the great speakers. We haven't even announced our headliner. We haven't even announced our second headliner. All the cool shit we're talking about. I've gone through a couple of the slides of some of the speakers because they're kind of have some stuff ready for us to look at, and it's perfect for this audience.
Yeah, I think each year we continue to build a better game plan for the audience. You know what I mean? This year we're hyper intelligent about
intentional.
Yeah.
We are intelligent too.
Did I say wow, it's that kind of morning, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't even catch that. Yeah. Hyper intentional, man, about the structure of the speakers, you know, what each one's going to be bringing. We want to make sure that from, you know, the first speaker all the way through to the end, we're building upon the value and we're hitting different arenas and areas that are very important to having that, you know, that successful gym. And so I'm excited for that because year after year after year, we do our best to blow the doors off and really shock everyone. And I'm feeling real confident about this one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So, all right, let's jump into the topic, y'all. We've talked about this in the past, but I think it needs to be brought back up because I'm seeing a little bit of a trend again, on gym owners kind of falling back into some old habits. And this is the book that, you know, I read early on that changed really the way I looked at the business itself and really what I wanted. So again, this might be the fourth or fifth time we've ever talked about this book in 500 plus episodes. So you may not have ever heard this before. So it's like, it's buried in there somewhere. If you haven't listened to all the shows, obviously you haven't heard this, but there's a book, again, Tim Senior, early on, he was an entrepreneur. He gave me a book from Robert Kiyosaki called Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yep.
Okay. And that's not the book I'm talking about, by the way. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was a game changer for a lot of people. For me, not so much.
Sure.
I read it. Like, I know, like, our buddy Mike Fallett, like, that was the book that changed everything for him. I read it. I was like, I get it. Cool.
Yep.
But the other book I read from same author really put things in perspective, and it's a much easier, simpler read. and it's called Cash Flow Quadrant. Mm-hmm. And if you've not read this book, it really breaks down the four quadrants, everybody, the relationship with how they earn income, okay? Yeah. How they earn money through their work or living life, right? And a lot of gym owners live in a quadrant called self-employed. And we'll go through all four of these without even realizing
correct
they're there. And we'll break down the four quadrants for you real quick. The first one, if you were to draw a big T on your paper, on the top left, you have the letter E. So E stands for employee. And obviously employee is what most of people are.
Yep.
They clock in, clock out, or they're on a salary, but they're trading, you know, they're doing a job for pay. And, yeah, you know, and essentially this could be also somebody that does project work, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're hired for a project, technically, depending on, you know, if you're working for somebody else or if you're working for yourself, you could still be considered an employee. But the bottom line is this, you're trading your time or your knowledge or your service for pay.
Yep.
Very common, the most common, and most people live there their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do very well there. And, you know, again, my mom was a school teacher and she was definitely an employee for her entire life. And, you know, and that's just the way life was. And nobody, you know, and look, nothing, no knock here.
Yeah.
There's a risk element that risk averse people won't move out of this because there's way too much risk and unknown on the other side of that line.
True. Okay?
So on the bottom left-hand corner, you got the SE, self-employed. And this is where, if we're talking to this audience, this gym owner audience, this is where a lot of you live. And really the big differentiator in this quadrant is you personally having to run operations for the business to run and make money means you're in this quadrant.
While owning the business.
While owning the business. Mm-hmm. So let's just say you open your gym. Your intentions are to be a business owner. On paper, it says you own the business, but if you look at the way you earn the money in that business, you personally are training clients, making sales, doing marketing, running the operations, you're self-employed.
Yeah.
And again, there's no pros or, I mean, there's lots of pros and cons, but there's no right or wrong
sure
for you because yep everybody's going to be different. Maybe you love what you do and you want to train clients all day. But if you were to take a vacation or be sick or you got hurt or injured, the gym wouldn't run.
Correct.
Put you in the self-employed.
Yep.
And many of you listening right now, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. You're right. I didn't realize that. And this is me. This is when I read the book. I had opened the gym. I was probably a year and a half into the gym. And I'm like, well, hell, I will be here if I don't do something about it.
Yeah.
I will, you know, you, when I met you, Randy, you were a member of the gym and you, I was there every day. You
oh,
saw
yeah
me every day. That's every just day what I would.
Yep.
And, you know, at some level, I was like, well, I have to be here. I don't have money to hire anybody, but I also didn't have any systems or any thoughts of hiring anybody. It was just what I did.
Yeah.
And that's probably what you did do, gym owner, day in and day out. You unlock the doors, you greet your clients. Maybe you train some people, you got some consultations, you're doing some check-ins with some people, maybe you're writing a marketing campaign, heading to Costco, grab some toilet paper, and this is what you do.
Yeah.
Without you doing those things, the business doesn't run and operate, doesn't make money, you live in this self-employed bubble. And again, no knock, this is where you are. Not a whole lot of freedom.
Sure.
Okay.
You're tied to
it. Just like the, you know, in fact, an employee probably has more freedom than a self-employed business owner, right? Self-employed quadrant. So an employee has set vacations. They can go, you know, whatever, weekends are off, all the things that an employee gets. And that's also, when I talk to a lot of different people in different industries or different jobs or whatever, like just friends and family, that's what drives them to stay in the employee quadrant. There's stability.
Yep.
Now, nothing's 100% guaranteed. You can get laid off tomorrow, but there's guaranteed vacations. You get your guaranteed salary and you just live up here and that's cool. And nobody, and there's a lot of folks that will never leave that for that reason because there's turmoil on the other side of that line. There is a rocky path and it's rough waters ahead. Sure. You know, you're going into some rising tides and waves and shit, you know, you ever seen those videos where the guy is taking a group of people out on a little boat, like a little dinghy, and they're going into the waves.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, and all of a sudden the next thing is everybody's in the water. That's what it's like when you cross over from the employee to self-employed.
Sure.
Right. So when I read this book, I was definitely in the self-employed quadrant. I was running the gym, doing all the things. And I was like, wow, man, I didn't know that there was another line or there's another side to the top right. Top right is business owner.
Yep.
Business owner is essentially the promised land for most of the self-employed gym owners. If you could get over to the other side, then the freedom comes because the definition of the business owner quadrant is the person, you own the business and the business owns the systems and the systems run the operation.
And create the revenue.
And create the revenue. Yeah,
systems, staffing structures, things, you know, exactly.
Right. And so if I were to look at legacy, for me, I'm 100% a business owner on legacy personal training. That my gym, I am completely removed. I'm here if they need me. And again, that doesn't mean I'm self-employed because I can just disappear.
Yeah.
And I have disappeared for months. And if you can, and really here's the test, right? Like if you think you're a business owner and you're not really sure if you're self-employed, go on vacation for 30 days and just don't bring your phone.
Yeah.
That's the pressure test.
It's a pretty good way of measuring and knowing for sure which quadrant you rely on.
Could you disappear and go on a hiatus, you know, go traveling in Europe, backpacking into the Swiss Alps or something, and not bring your phone, not bring your computer, not have any contact with the business, and when you came back, what did it have grown, shrunk, or caught on fire?
Yeah.
Like that's this pressure test.
Sure.
So you're living in this business. So that's the promised land. How do you get there? In fact, that's the number one thing we do with gym owners is take them from self-employed to business owner. It's not rocket science. It's a lot of work, but it just takes diligence and it takes somebody that's done it a bunch of times like us to be able to teach somebody else how to do it. Attention gym owners. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Join our exclusive Facebook group, ProFit Accelerator, and unlock the potential to scale your gym to $30,000 a month and beyond. In the ProFit Accelerator group, we're going to focus solely on helping gym owners just like you win. We offer regular training sessions and share our best proven strategies to boost your business. Join us now by searching for ProFit Accelerator on Facebook. Be part of a community that's all about success and growth, the ProFit Accelerator, where gym owners thrive. All right, now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, that's one of the big things. I think a lot of gym owners are probably stuck in the self-employed role. This is really one of those areas where you don't know what you don't know, right? The idea of having that self-sustaining business without you in the operations seems great, but it's one of those things where you show up every day and you're doing the work. You don't know how to transition to having that business stand and run and operate without you, whether it be the systems that you need in place, whether it be how many people and staff, you know, should be in there, what those positions and what their responsibilities look like. And that's exactly what we help, you know, coach and teach. And I think that's the biggest thing that's going to help gym owners bridge that gap is just a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of structure. And then really it just comes down to running the play. You know what I mean? Build up those people, allow them to fulfill the roles of the work that has been on your plate. And let them fly. You know what I mean?
Yep. The systems are everything. And like we say a lot of times, no, systems are boring. It's not, they're not sexy. No, they're not. They're not super sexy. They're kind of like the busy work that you don't want to do. But when you put them in place and then coach to them and teach to them and hold people accountable to them, man, that's super sexy. Because guess what? You're marching on up to the business owner quadrant where the systems run the business.
Yeah.
And the systems and the people within the systems run the business allows you to, again, have the time freedom, do other things. I guess the little mini story about that was when ProFit was at its inception, 2015, I was still in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was
working the front office.
I was in the front office. So 2015. So if you look at how many years ago is that? 9 years ago. We were taken off at ProFit and it forced me to really get my shit together and get somebody to replace me at the time. It was Brent.
Yeah.
And I said, Brent, you're moving up into my role, and here's what this role looks like, and here's what I expect of you, and here's what, you know, where I'm, you know, and of course, in the first 6-8 months of that, we were revising the play, the job description, the responsibilities of that role. And, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, I make sales, I answer the phone. I was doing freaking everything. I would go make shakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that, again, that's when Profit took off. It was becoming its own business. And towards the end of that year, that was in September. I had 3 months, to get myself out of that position, get Brent installed, move Profit to its own company, new LLC. And then that was completely out at that point.
Yeah.
January 2016. That was the line in the sand. We had to make a decision. And so a lot of folks, you kind of need that reason to get out of the operation. So if you're sitting in a self-employed role and you're kind of sitting in there and you're like, man, well, what would I do if I was a business owner? But what would I do? Well, you do have choices, but for me, I had the thing before I moved over there. It forced me to move over there, if we're being honest.
Yeah. Like
it forced me. And so if you don't have another set of income or coming in or another business, or if you're not going to open a second location, you may never get out of that role because you may just be like, this is what I do.
Well, and there's one other component to that too, is the fact that like you could be in the self-employed role and things could be good, right? People move away from pain and we move towards pleasure. And if you're in that kind of middle ground where, you know, you're making money, you're trading a little bit of your time for money. Maybe you've got a couple days that you train, or maybe you're just coming in doing a lot of the operational stuff of the gym. You don't know any different. You know what I mean? Like you don't
and you're
know
not, what not it's, motivated to change.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. The comfort's there. Things are good. We're kind of humming. You probably know the business could do more, but you don't really know what that even looks like or how that would work. That's where I would challenge you, because the freedom that Tim's talking about, like you might not have that pain point. The pleasure might not be drawing you enough because again, you're not in a, if you feel good, but when you do step into that business owner role and you get that income that starts to come in as a dividend of the business that you've created, that's an entirely different feeling. Like to me, like that's the ultimate desire for a business owner. It should be for everybody, in my opinion, because that's true freedom, time freedom from the business that you've created, as opposed to having to trade your time for money still. But you as the gym owner kind of have to reframe your goals, your desires. Maybe it seems too abstract to even know what that's like. Mm-hmm. And maybe to your point, maybe you don't have something else that's going to take, that is dedicated to taking your time. Well, you can still work on the business at that point. You know what I mean? You don't have the operational components that are pulling you into the business every day. Now you've got a clear game plan of like, all right, everything's going. How can I make this really good?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where we start to see true scale take place too with a lot of gyms, is because you don't have your day to day isn't spent putting out fires. You know, I don't want to, you're not dedicating 5, 6, 7 hours of your day to training clients that you could absolutely hire somebody else to be doing. That way you're focused on literally the growth of the business. You can make strategic plans. Mm-hmm. You can lay out marketing efforts for the future. You can work on, you know, the systems that you've implemented and make that business that much more efficient and possibly, you know, earn that much more revenue. When it's not happening on you trading your time for money, that is a hell of a feeling.
Sure.
Hell of a feeling. So I challenge gym owners, if you are in that self-employed role and you know, you don't really feel that much pain, think about how much pleasure might be on the other side of it. And it's not, again, there's nothing wrong with deciding to go train clients every day if that's what you want to do. But the second you put your name on that business should be paying you a dividend despite your time for money.
Hey, are you a gym owner whose business is in full swing, pulling in at least steady 30K or more per month, and now you're ready to ask yourself, what is next? Well, the Iron Circle is ready to show you that path forward. As a part of our exclusive community, you'll be surrounded by like-minded, success-driven gym owners just like you who are taking their businesses to the next level. Visit our website, ironcircle.net, to apply to be a part of the next Iron Circle group, and let us turn your successful gym into a thriving fitness legacy. All right, let's get back to the show.
That's the risk side that some people, you know, they don't, I mean, you've already taken the risk. If you're in the self-employed, you've already taken all the risk at that point. Might as well make it worthwhile and have it pay you dividends. So Jeff Hoffman, who's the founder of Priceline.com, came out and spoke to us at the Iron Circle event in Orlando last. And he said pretty much this. It's like the business should create the life that you want to live. Yeah. You shouldn't live your life to create the business that you want. It's the opposite, right? Yep. And a lot of people are like living their life, pouring all of their time and all of the resources and everything into the business to create it to be what you want it to be, when it should be the other way around. Mm-hmm. The business should create the life you want. So you need to figure out the life you want before you can figure out what the business should provide to. So that's the business owner quadrant. There's one more quadrant down in the four. I mean, if we're talking quadrant, that means four. We've only talked about three. The last one is the investor. So your money's making money. Like that's the essentially what it is. You've made some money, whether it be from the self. And so here's the cool thing. You could be in all of these quadrants simultaneously.
Yeah.
I'm somewhere in there. I'm just not in the employee role. That's right. So I'm in the other three.
On paper, maybe.
What do you mean?
Just like if you pay yourself a salary or something like
well,
that.
Well, self-employed. You know, yeah, I'm self-employed. Yeah. So at Profit, I'm self-employed. I'm doing this podcast. If I don't do this, you know, you could do it, I guess, but we wouldn't have the same output or whatever. So coaching, Iron Circle, Grow Summit, like I'm involved. Like I'm in the day-to-day. So I'm self-employed at Profit. I am
a business owner
at Legacy, and I'm an investor in my other company called Legacy Commercial. Legacy Commercial has the Airbnbs and the rental income coming in and stuff like that. Now, is that truly passive? Well, I also have investments in the island in Belize and other, there's several other things. I've got the preschool with Justin. Mm-hmm. And so like there's a lot of investment stuff happening while I'm running around in these other ones. So you've made money at some point and you've put that money to work. So that money is going to, this could also be in stocks, could be in Bitcoin, whatever it is. But the money's growing without you involved.
Yep.
And that's investment. And, you know, my ultimate goal is to get all the way over to the investment. I think, I mean, on paper, that sounds like it'd be pretty fun. I think at some level, I still want to be a business owner and have some kind of, things where, because here was the biggest challenge that I had when I got to this investor side. And it really hit me with the island development in Belize. So long story short, I'm a owner and I'm in the ownership group of an island in Belize that has a 21 unit resort being built on it. Right. So it's like little bungalows over water and these little casita type things. It has a restaurant and a bar and a front desk and all this stuff. And then that was the first time where I just put my money in and I had no say.
Yeah.
Good luck. That's investment. Yeah. It might have been the second time. The first time, and it was a much smaller amount. The first time was when one of our Iron Circle members asked for investments for preschool.
Oh, yeah.
So I put money in that. I don't really have a say on how that business is run. I don't have a say with how this island's being developed and run and priced and, what color paint or is on the wall. I have no say. Mm-hmm. What's on the menu? And I could throw my name in the hat, but there's no bearing. Like I could say, hey guys, we need to have some coconut rum, freaking coconut thing, ball things with the thing hanging out. I'm sure that's probably already on the menu. If we're being honest, I mean, we're in a tropical island. Yeah. Dude, this island's so cool. But that's the deal, right? You're in this investment role. So really the takeaway that I took when I read this book, and again, this is 2010, right? 15, 14 years ago, my dad handed this book. Well, he didn't hand me this, but he handed me the other book and I did more research and I found this one. And it's so clear. It is so clear. Like, oh my gosh, if I didn't read that book, a lot of my mindset would have been self-employed.
Sure.
Do the job. This is what you signed up for. It's on your back, right? Whereas like, well, maybe it is. At least in the beginning, for sure is. But when you move over to business owner and you start thinking like a business owner, you start making really good decisions.
One of our other buddies, Mike McAllowitz, one of the initial statement he started when he spoke to our group in Orlando, he said, as a business owner, your job is job creation. And for me, like that really resonated with this conversation, because gym owners typically, they're like, oh, if I want to go do this in my business, I have to go figure out how I can go do this. Mm-hmm. And when you stop looking at it with as a how, and you start looking at like a who, you start to change how you deliver within that business, right? It's not, oh, I need to go spend my time and energy and effort to go make that happen. It's who's the right person to go make this happen in my business.
It's very, very important. Now, I will tell you, I struggle with that a lot, because maybe I'm not the person that should be doing it, but I need to know why and how it works.
Sure.
I just need to. I don't know what it is. I don't need to do it, but I need to know what needs to be done for something to happen. For example, we're dealing with this domain thing, right? Like, should I be the one clicking the button? No, but like, at least I know how it's done, right? And there's a lot of things in your business. For example, we use DocuSign. Remember, mm-hmm. we had a gal on our team named Melissa. So, Melissa, I need this to talk to that. How it needs to happen, I don't know. And purposely never, like I said, I'm not touching any of this.
figure it out.
And she did figure it out, and she set it up, and it's been working fine for years now. But some part of me wants to know what's happening. I need to know, because there's a bill for this like plugin that we Parsi, yeah, whatever it is. I'm like, I see the bill. And, you know, I was in the shower today. I was thinking about our tech stack and all the miscellaneous things we have going on. Like, do we need that anymore?
Sure.
And because I don't know how it works, I'm really stuck paying it. Because unless I go figure out how it works, so a little bit of me is like, I need to know how. I don't need to do it, but like, I personally need to know how.
Yeah. So I just found out that after this podcast, I'm going to go research Parsi for you.
Yeah. And just
take that off your plate there.
How does that work? Like, we're paying for two Parsis for something. Something's with Graphly, something's with... Anyways, long story short, is we use these plugins, we use these software, we use all this kind of stuff to give us the result we're looking for. And we're never shy about buying software to do stuff. I mean, hell, I just bought that Sketch Wow thing over. It was a lifetime deal for $50 or whatever. And now I'm making little drawings of it. So it's cool, right? It's cool. But anyways, when you move to the business owner quadrant, and I think that honestly should be, here's the cool thing. When you get over the business owner quadrant, you can choose not to go work today. Like, you could decide to train some clients this week.
Yeah.
Not because you have to. That's the difference. Yeah. It's the relationship with how the business operates. If it's on your time for it to work, then you're definitely sitting in the self-employed.
Yeah.
The pressure test is a 4-week vacation. You don't even have to be on vacation. You could stay at home for 4 weeks. Just don't contact the gym and don't contact your business and see what happens.
Yeah.
If you get back and it's running smooth and you grew, and you don't have any 1-star reviews on Yelp or any of that stuff, then you might be there.
And you keep bringing up that, like, that is not only is it one of the real tests, but it's also it's a real reality for gym owners. I mean, we've worked with, I can think of Bill right offhand, and Ian.
Ryan Sells.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I think he's leaving. Actually, he's gone while you guys are listening to this, right? Yep. These are gym owners that, just in the amount of time that we worked with them, I mean, Bill was he's owned his business over 10 years. I don't remember offhand, but, and Sells has been, he's run his business in LA for who knows how long. But these guys, just from the resources and the understanding of this concept, have been able to solidify a business that doesn't require their day-to-day, you know, time for money exchange. And Bill took a 3-week vacation to Italy, didn't even bring his cell phone. Ein took 2 weeks off, the same exact thing. Sells is gone for 2 weeks as we speak right now, same exact thing. But rewind a year before they stepped into our circle, every one of them was still in the gym, the training floor, trading time for money, and they're in a different position and completely different outlook at how they look at their business.
It rewired my brain. This lesson's rewired in their brains, and hopefully you listening, it's rewiring your brain to think about things differently. So listen, guys, that's really what we want to talk to you about today. Hopefully that helps, right?
Yeah.
And if you start looking at things a little bit different, if you need that help, you know where to find us. Link in show notes, probably, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But that's it for this episode, guys. Hopefully that helps you. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye.
All right. And thank you for listening to that episode of the Built to Grow podcast, where we help gym owners win. Now, do you want to connect with me and other gym owners online? All you need to do is join our private Facebook group, Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. Just head on over to Facebook and type in Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. And when you do, we're going to give you our 10 marketing strategies seven-figure gym owners use to win. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Until then, keep building something great.